congregation at Daleville Christian Church's statement of faith today is from 1 Peter, the first chapter, the verses 18 through 21. We were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down from our ancestors with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. He was chosen before the creation of the world, but was revealed in these last times for our sake. Through him we believe in God, who raised him from the dead and glorified him, and so our faith and hope are in God. God's word for today is from Romans chapter 12, the first 8 verses, where the Apostle Paul addresses the congregation in the city of Rome, saying, "Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment, in accordance with the measure of faith God has given you. Just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given us. If a man's gift is prophesying, let him use it in proportion to his faith. If it is serving, let him serve. If it is teaching, let him teach. If it is encouraging, let him encourage. If it is contributing to the needs of others, let him give generously. If it is leadership, let him govern diligently. If it is showing mercy, let him do it cheerfully." May the Lord add his blessing to this reading of his holy word. One thing mentioned early on in this series on God's love is that God's love is something different than what most people think it is. God's love is not acceptance. The Lord God takes us as we are, where we are, but God doesn't accept us. God actually loves us too much to leave us unchanged. The Lord loves us too much to leave us as we are. I've been trying to find a better way to say this. How about this? We accept people where they are, not the way they are, because the way they are is going to change, right? They're going to have new lives. The love of Jesus is going to transform them. Jesus accepted the disciples where they were, but not the way they were. Matthew got up from his tax table and followed Jesus. Jesus took Matthew where he was, not the way he was. Matthew never got back to tax collecting. Jesus had something different in mind for Matthew. But the same is true of me. Jesus takes me where I am today, but he isn't going to leave me the way I am. I'm still growing into the person Jesus wants me to be. But we start right here. Jesus called me to ministry while I was sitting in a chair in my living room as a freshman in high school, but Jesus didn't leave me there. Jesus took me where I was, not the way I was. Are we clear on that? We can take people where they are. I mean, if Jesus can, we're supposed to if we are Jesus' church. This morning we continue to talk about worship here at Daleville Christian Church, for worship is an expression of God's love to us in and through Jesus Christ. I read a book 2 years ago entitled, "Why Nobody Wants to Go to Church Anymore." But we're not here to argue about the book title. But there's a big disconnect between what people say they believe and worship. People say they believe in God. A large percentage say that. Some will say they want to live the life God wants them to live, and yet many of those same people are not in worship. And there are fewer people in worship every year in this country. Now, I am talking about Christian worship, the services devoted to Jesus Christ as Savior. The population is increasing in this country. The number of believers is not increasing in this country. And the number of people in worship is going down every year in this country. For years, American churches fooled themselves by asking one another how many members they had. They still ask that question, but now they ask a better question. What is your average worship attendance? I'm sure there's no surprise that those are two very different numbers. As an example of the disconnect in worship, I point to weddings. Weddings are a service of worship. God is mentioned. We pray in Jesus' name. There are vows made in God's presence. The Bible is read. Often there is special music and/or live music is performed. People I marry are married in a worship service. Supposed to be one of the happiest moments of their life. Where are they on Sunday morning? Maybe the worship wasn't as happy as we all thought it was. So why aren't people in worship? Well, let's talk about people's experience of worship. You're here in worship, at least your bodies are here. You know that old joke, raise your hands if you're present. Now raise your hand if you're not present. Hope we don't have to do that today. So some of you are here today in worship. The worship service seems to work for you in your service to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The service here at Daleville Christian Church works for you. But let's look at some other types of worship services. And we talk about people's experience of worship because we can talk all day about what's supposed to be happening in worship or what we want to have happen in worship. But the question is, how is the worship registering with the people who come to worship? Now, we look at worship. We can say there are some people who prefer theater. As a matter of fact, this is one reason many church people believe that churches in America are doing great. Huge worship venues like Joel Osteen's church in Houston, Texas. 15,000 people in the Compaq Center, former home of the NBA Houston Rockets. The worship is its own television program. So it has professional presentation, technicians, musicians, thousands of people in a place built for professional entertainment. So you could even call it a television program with a producer and a director. It will be flawless, smooth, and entertaining. It will be enjoyable. I think that we could guess that people are growing in their relationship with the Lord and serving the Lord in worship. But the worship is so dazzling, impressive, professional, orchestrated, and has stars on stage, you might not even care about your relationship with God. You might be distracted. You might be starstruck. You might become a fan of Jesus, but Jesus never wanted fans. Jesus wanted followers. And many larger congregations, because of the success of Joel Osteen's church, want to be just like Joel Osteen's church. But the success of that church is masking the reality that there are the same percentage of people not in worship in Houston as anywhere else in the country. And while the population is growing in Houston, church attendance is not keeping pace with the population growth in Houston, Texas. Joel Osteen's church is so attractive that I'd be surprised to find a Protestant pastor in this country who wouldn't love to have even a crumb from Joel Osteen's table. But you see, if you're distracted from your relationship with God, then the worship is failing to connect you to God. Worship is about connection with the Lord. And again, I'm not saying Joel Osteen's church is not connecting, but for some people, it's so easy to be distracted. But not all churches are the Compaq Center in Houston, Texas. Many churches are not entertainment theater. On the other extreme, some worship services in some churches are like funerals. Again, a funeral is a worship service. At least it is when I conduct one. We read God's Word. I talk about God's Word. I often make invitations to follow Jesus. We pray several times. Sometimes there's special music and even live music for the funeral service. So how is some worship like a funeral service? Well, in some churches, in their worship, everyone seems really sad, as if someone just died. When people go through the worship or even come to the communion table, you would think that Jesus was betrayed and killed just yesterday instead of 2,000 years ago. The emphasis seems to be on the tragedy of Jesus' death instead of Jesus' death-winning gift of salvation and the hope of resurrection. In funeral worship churches, the emphasis is always on quiet. But so much stress is on the quiet that it spills into somber. You know, children at Christmas time can be quiet, but I guarantee you they are not somber. I guarantee it. Somber isn't the best word for these worship services. It's being sober. The word sober is associated with words like seriousness. It does seem strange that if you think about it, that at a funeral, there is one person who is the most sober and the most somber, and that person is in the casket. They are dead. Want other words associated with somber and sober? Try sedate, earnest, or grave. Get it? Do you want your service to be gravely serious? As I recall, the Bible says that Jesus called a man out of a grave. Jesus never put a man in a grave. If the goal of the worship service is to be as much like the person in the casket, you're not connecting with the God of the living. Also, I'd remind you that Jesus was criticized by his leaders for not being serious. Jesus said he's not the God of the dead, but of the living. Again, I don't think you will find any child more serious about something than Christmas morning. But you would never say that those same serious children are somber or sober. So entertainment might be distracting. Funeral-like worship has too much lifelessness. But there are other worship services that fail to help people grow in their connection to God. There are police station worship services. How many police stations have you ever been in, or jails, or visited a prison? A police station church or a police station worship service is all about the rules. I'll give you an example. You're driving along the highway. This happened to me yesterday on the interstate. You're driving along the highway. You're even going the speed limit. You notice a police car just sitting off to the side of the road or in the median. You will immediately check your speed and you look at your speedometer, and for most people, they will decrease their speed, even if they are going the speed limit. So in the presence of the police, it's all about the rules and making sure we are following the rules, even while we're following the rules. And honestly, it's often about fear. We slow down while driving the speed limit because we're afraid. When worship is like a police station, there are lots of rules, like which Bible translation to use, and often it's exclusive. You must read only this Bible. I've always tried to tell people to read the Bible that they will read. People don't need to be dedicated to a Bible you don't read or don't want to read. Read a Bible that you will read. Police station worship may emphasize how you should dress, which musical instruments are acceptable, but more importantly, which musical instruments are not acceptable. In some police station worship, exactly how the Lord's Supper is conducted is an issue. In the church I grew up in, a woman called the pastor to protest the Lord's Prayer and worship. What was wrong, the pastor asked. The woman said the pastor had moved the Lord's Prayer from earlier in the worship service to later in the worship service. So for that lady, praying the Lord's Prayer and really meaning it wasn't as important as to where in the worship the Lord's Prayer was spoken. Police station worship. Here's a good example of the feel of police station worship. A mother picked up two children from Vacation Bible School. Now this is Vacation Bible School of all things, not Daleville Christian Church Vacation Bible School, praise the Lord. And the mother asked the two children what they learned. Without hesitation, the children said, "When you're in line, walk, don't talk. Look straight ahead and don't play around. When you get inside, sit quietly and don't talk or move. Hoping for something a little deeper, the mother asked if they learned anything else. Yes, they said. If you get up to go to the bathroom, when you come back, you have to sit in the back and can't get back with your friends. And that was what two children learned at a church's vacation Bible school one day. Talk about not growing a connection with Jesus. Now, there are a couple of other worship churches, but they're not as interesting. You can have worship that's a lot like a museum, where the emphasis is on observing rather than taking part or growing in a relationship with the Lord. Because in a museum, you look at things. You're not a part of anything. You can have a worship service that's like a school. Having the right answers is most important. Your worship can be like a political action committee, protesting all the wrongs in society, working to fix problems rather than growing in a relationship with the Lord. A relationship that motivates a person to be angry with the wrongs, angry enough to work to heal the pain of those wrongs. But all these worship services are missing something, or they're focused on something and almost no focus on a relationship with Jesus. So what are we doing at Daleville Christian Church about it? What are we doing about this connection and growing in Jesus? Well, that's not an easy question to answer, but I want to get started on the answer. What are we at Daleville Christian Church doing about worship connecting people with Jesus? It's a tough question because worship is an inheritance. We know that. Some of what we do is because Jesus gave it to us to do. The Lord's Prayer, the Lord's Table, prayers, even songs and hymns. Jesus and the disciples sang songs and hymns. So do we. None of our hymns are that old, although we've been accused of that. You can see the colors on the chancel. The word chancel is an inherited word. So is the word choir, which, by the way, choir was not people. Choir was a place in the sanctuary, but that's changed. But we inherited these colors, and the HIS on the colors, we inherited that. They're the first three letters of Jesus' name in the Greek language, the language the New Testament was written in originally. We could put J-E-S up here. Same thing, English is our language. But the H-I-S, what looks like, I guess I-H-S, what looks like that to us, the only Greek left in our worship. Although we had some Greek here recently, we heard it at a wedding. Prayers were chanted in Greek. The Gloria Patri, we inherited that. It's the only Latin that we have left in our worship service. Unless some of you here can sing Adeste Fidelis or Ave Maria. I thought perhaps that for the Pope's visit this week we could dress it up a bit, but I guess we can't. Anyone here speak Spanish? That is the Pope's native language. But we inherited that Latin language and Latin language title. When you think about it, we inherited the Bible. And we inherited it where it sits up here on the chancel or the rostrum or the stage, whatever we want to call it in English. And since the Bible is the basis of everything we want to do at Daleville Christian Church, we use the Bible. We use the Bible's own worship book. We recite the Psalms as we did this morning. We use the Bible to say what it is, what we believe. Look at what we said in our opening sentences. Come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation. We don't do a lot of shouting in our worship, but there's permission right there in the 95th Psalm. You can shout aloud to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before him with thanksgiving, extol him with music and song, for the Lord is the great God. Come, let us bow down in worship. And I think there was a misprint in the bulletin, but it says, let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for He is our God today. If only you would hear His voice. Hear the Lord's voice in worship. We're supposed to be able to hear the Lord's voice in worship. Now, some categories in worship at Daleville Christian Church are still up for grabs. We used to have worship on Wednesday evenings. It had all the same elements as the Sunday morning worship. We now offer worship in two homes. Those also have the same elements as we have here on Sunday morning. But one of those house churches meets on Saturday, so we're open to the changes in the day of the week and place. But all those services include the Bible and the table, the bread and the cup. What else are we doing at Daleville Christian Church to connect people with Jesus? Well, I could quote some science to you. I could quote a lot of science to you, but I will leave it at a few sentences. Different kinds of prayers were associated, this is what science says, different kinds of prayers were associated with positive outcomes for the one praying. A sense of well-being, support, optimism, meaning in life, life satisfaction and self-esteem. Prayers of thanksgiving, prayers of adoration, and prayers of openness, reception, or humility. These have all been measured. And these things happen when these prayers are prayed. And we pray these prayers at Daleville Christian Church. Notice that for the person who is praying, not all their problems are solved. Doesn't say people were healed or found new jobs or had an increase in income. No, what they measured was a sense of well-being, support, optimism, meaning in life, life satisfaction and self-esteem. And also notice that science doesn't care what kind of worship service you pray in. The science doesn't care if you sing with a guitar or an organ, with a drum or a musical accompaniment, or no musical accompaniment. Science doesn't care if you pray in English, Greek, or Latin. What the science tells us is that we will connect with our Lord in worship. We will benefit. So the worship has to be about connection. Jesus did it. Jesus was in worship. Jesus was in the synagogue. We read and we're told all the disciples went to temple at festival time. Jesus said, we will worship in truth. Today's scripture says, offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. That happens in here, in the sanctuary, and it happens out there in the world. The apostle goes on to say, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That's supposed to be taking place here also. And then notice all the gifts listed for the church and the worship, the gifts that God provides to the church, to the people who are in the church, and for the church's worship. A connection with Jesus our Lord. Come to the Lord. Come into His presence. Let us fulfill the psalm today. Let us come before Him with thanksgiving and extol Him with music and song. For the Lord is a great God. Come, let us bow down in worship. Amen.